Amen. Thank you, Jim, for sharing that beautiful music with us this morning and bringing us into this space of worship. Good morning, friends, and welcome to worship. Welcome to Tabernacle United Church, where we are here to worship God, the God of life, the God of liberation, and to remember who we are and whose we are. My name is Katie, Pastor Katie. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And I'm really glad to be here welcoming you and be worshiping here with you this morning. As you can see, we're here in the sanctuary. I'm here with Pauline and Susan and Caroline and Pax, and we're here again, just a small group of us leading from the sanctuary today, which is a great pleasure. But I'm glad that you all can join us in this virtual setting. And I know there, I believe, and I know that we will be back together soon. But for now, this is the safest way that we can gather. And so we're going to continue to do that until it's a little bit safer to come together. So welcome, everyone. And I want to give a special welcome also to our visitors who are here for the first time. If you're visiting, we're glad you're here. Thank you for joining us. And please feel free to introduce yourself in the chat feature if you'd like. Or you can also fill out a visitor card, which is virtual. And we'll put that link in the chat for you. And at perhaps after the service, you can take some time to fill that out. We'd love to hear who you are and a little bit about you. And if you'd like to connect further, we would enjoy that and like that. But yes, please feel free to introduce yourself on the chat as well. And welcome. Just a couple brief announcements. Today is Communion Sunday, so we will be partaking in communion, and so that is also an invitation for you to set a table in your own home. If you have some elements you can set aside, it doesn't have to be wine and bread. It can be juice, it can be water, anything that you have that's accessible to you that you can set aside for that time. You can do that. So that will be a little bit later on in the service, and all of us are welcome to God's table, even if that table is right in our homes. We are welcome. Also, we have our regular schedule this week with prayer. So on Tuesday and Thursday, we meet in the morning at 8:30 to pray together on Zoom. If you'd like to connect in that way and pray with us, let us know. We will make sure you can get on the listserv or have the link for those prayer gatherings. Those are on Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 8:30. So those are our main announcements this morning, and we're going to continue now. Let's take a few deep breaths. Let's center ourselves, and let's worship God.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Susan Wargo, and I'm really happy to be here. The sanctuary does still exist, and it looks beautiful, and I'm so glad to be in this space. My pronouns are she and her. Please join me in the call to worship. Gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and blessed by God, we come to worship one holy God. O God, our God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth. Your majesty is the music of the starry skies, yet even children of dust can sing your praises. In the name of the healer, the provider, and the enabler, let your gratitude and joy be made known. O God, our God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And I invite you to sing this morning, starting with Ready for Action. And I remember when we first started singing this song, the invitation to jump into action, especially in the face of racism in our country and stepping into racism for ourselves. Let's sing this song and remind us of that time and this time where we're stepping into action with God's help. Let's sing. Waking up to the fear and pride all around me and inside. I'm shedding all that holds me back. I'm learning more, I'm stepping up and finding power in God's love. The time is now for action. God is here in this place, here in this place. God is here in this place, here in this place. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action, ready for action. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action, ready for action. I'll make a vow and say a prayer to save people there. Lord, give me strength to stay on track. We'll tear down walls that keep us bound and free the captives all around. The time is now for action. God is here in this place, here in this place. God is here in this place, here in this place. Oh, 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 I'm ready for action, ready for action. Oh, 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 I'm ready for action, ready for action. Oh, 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 I'm ready for action, ready for action. This next song by Richard Smallwood has become a favorite of Tab. As we think about our powerlessness, as we think about the ways in which we need help, let us look to God. Let us look. Mine eyes to the of my strength. You are the strength of my life. I lift my hands in total praise to you. Lord, I will lift mine eyes to
Let us pray. Holy One, you have promised to be with us, and long ago sent your Spirit to abide among us and guide us to a future of goodness and hope. We come seeking your truth, your justice, and your kindness. O God, you are with us this morning. Let us feel your presence and welcome you into our lives. Come and fill these desires of our hearts. Amen. And now, please join me in the prayer of confession. Loving God, there is enough evil within us to dampen our love. Sometimes there is enough doubt in us to swamp our faith. Some days there is enough weariness in us to swamp our hopefulness. There is enough apathy within us to smother our compassion. There is also enough hunger in us to keep us dissatisfied, and enough discontent in us to make us return home to your love. God of infinite patience and prodigal mercy, forgive your people their numerous sins. Have mercy on our pride and ignorance. Lead us to the fountain of your grace and cleanse our hearts to live and love again. Through Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. My friends, welcome home. Our God awaits us with open arms as a child who was lost and has been found. This fellow, Jesus, and his remarkable household welcomes sinners and even eats with the likes of us. This is the good news of the gospel, In Jesus Christ, we are set free. Amen.
We are recipients of God's grace, and we are givers of God's grace. So let's take a moment now and greet one another with the grace and peace of Jesus Christ. Let's unmute and go to gallery view and have a chance to pass the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with all of you.
Now is the time in our service where we invite children and anyone else who would like to join to come closer to the screen to hear the children's time. And if you're one of the folks who'd like to be part of that smaller group, you can go down in your Zoom menu to the right side, click Reactions, and the Raise Hand button. Let's sing to invite those folks forward.
Come and see. Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, follow me. Come as a child, oh come and see.
Hi there. Hey, Levi. This is my first time doing children's time in the sanctuary, but on Zoom. So it's just the four of us, but everyone else is watching. So, and now it's just, or the five of us, actually. So my question is, which of us have ever done something wrong? Oh, hello there. That we wished we hadn't done. So something wrong. Raise your hand if you've done something wrong that you shouldn't have done. Yeah. Levi, no, never? No. Wow, good for you. Well then for those of us, most of us, it's kind of a human condition that we do things we shouldn't have done. And sometimes we know it in advance, sometimes we learn it afterwards, and then we regret it. I've made so many of these mistakes, but one recently I was ordering lunch for a whole bunch of family members and I forgot to order my brother-in-law's lunch. And he got very upset. And I asked him to forgive me. Do you know what it means to forgive? What does it mean? What does it mean?
Not to stay angry at someone.
That's exactly right. It's making a real conscious decision to not stay angry. And that's what God does with us. And that's what God asks us to do for ourselves, to not stay angry with ourselves when we make a mistake, and to not stay angry with other people when they make a mistake. And sometimes it's really easy to do, and sometimes it's really, really hard to do. So later in the service, we're going to be reading part of the Bible about a son who does something that was very bad, that he asked his dad for, you know, half of his money, and he took it, and he went and he spent it in all sorts of ways he shouldn't have spent it, and he ran out of money really quickly, and then he had nothing left, and he was hungry, so he started working to try and feed himself, but he couldn't make enough money to feed himself and to put a roof over his head, so he went back to his father, and he said, "Father, I made this huge mistake, and there's no way you're going to forgive me, so at least hire me to work in your fields so I can have enough food to eat." And his father, instead of hiring him, forgave him and said, "I'm so happy to have you back." And the other brother, who had kept working and was good and didn't make all these mistakes and didn't spend all this money, and was like, "Why, Dad, are you forgiving him? Like, why have I been doing all the right thing?" And the father said, "We had lost your brother, and now we have him back." And really focused on what was so good about that and about forgiving, because that's what God wants us to do. And we are happier when we forgive. And that really is just what God asks us to do, is to focus on what we have, not what we don't have. Not what we lost, but what we have, and forgive, because when we forgive, we're sharing God's love and doing God's will. And so let's just say a prayer. God, help us to learn to forgive, even when it's really, in fact, especially when it's really hard to do. Help us to forgive ourselves, to forgive each other, and to remember that you forgive us as well. Amen.
Our scripture passage today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and 11 to 24. First, we'll hear verses 1 and 2. One day, when many tax collectors and other addicts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling. "This man welcomes addicts and even eats with them." And now, beginning with verse 11. Jesus went on to say, "There was once a man who had two sons. The younger one said to him, 'Father, give me my share of the property now.' So the man divided his property between his two sons. After a few days, the younger son sold his part of the property and left home with the money. He went to a country far away where he wasted his money on reckless living. He spent everything he had. Then a severe famine spread over the country, and he was left without a thing. So he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him out to his farm to take care of the pigs. He wished he could fill himself with the bean pods the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything to eat. At last he came to his senses and said, "All my father's hired workers have more than they can eat, and here I am about to starve. I will get up and go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired workers.' So he got up and started back to his father. He was still a long way from home when his father saw him. His heart was filled with pity, and he ran and threw his arms around his son and kissed him. 'Father,' the son said, 'I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son.' But the father called to his servants. 'Hurry,' he said. 'Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Then go and get the prize calf and kill it, and let's celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, now he has been found.' And so the feasting began." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let us take a moment to pray. Would you join me? Oh God, I am grateful for this story this morning, a story perhaps that we've heard many times. I pray, God, that this story would be refreshed for us today, that we would hear it and learn from it and draw nearer to you, and that you would help us, God, in our recovery. I pray, God, that you would speak through me, and I pray that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just switch here to gallery view. I'm grateful I can still see you, most of you here on my screen. We're going to continue today in our sermon series that we started last week on, that's called Recovering Our Salvation. It's in this series, we're going to be talking about recovery and repair. And every week, we're going to be looking at one of the 12 steps, sometimes a couple of the steps, and looking really at the principles around of the gospel that are inherent in the 12 steps and really practicing the 12 steps. And I wanted to start today just briefly by clarifying some terms and assumptions that we're going to be using throughout the series. So first of all, we are assuming that all of us are addicts. All of us are addicts. We are most accustomed to thinking of addiction as related to the more obvious dependencies on drugs and alcohol. But as we talked about last week, there are less visible addictions. There are, what we talked about was there are socially agreed upon addictions in every culture. And those are more difficult to detect and to come out of denial about. So last week, we named some of those socially agreed upon addictions in our culture: oil and fossil fuels, war, systems of punishment and retribution. We are addicted to capitalism, to binaries, someone mentioned, social media, productivity, perfectionism, our own ways of thinking we can be addicted to. We are all addicts. So that's an assumption throughout this series. And what goes along with that is to say we are all addicts is also to say we are all sinners. It's the same kind of thing that we're saying. If we're all addicts, that it's the same as saying we are all sinners. The 12-step program, I think, can help us pull down to earth often these over-spiritualized terms like sin and salvation. Spiritualized terms that are also kind of moralistic terms, and help us think about them in actually closer to their biblical meaning. So addiction is another way to talk about sin. And sin, like addiction, is not something we can cure or even be totally cleansed from in this life. Always an addict, always a sinner. However, you can be a recovering addict, and you can be a dissatisfied sinner, right? We can be working in recovery in our addictions. We can be longing to, as Paul says, work out our salvation with reverence and humility. So sin is like addiction, recovery is like salvation. And we participate in God's saving work. We're asked to take steps as part of God's saving work. And so when we read scripture throughout these weeks, we will hear the language of sin and salvation, sometimes interchanged with recovery and addiction. So just to help us give us a framework for what we're talking about. So I wanted to lift that up as we start today. Today I wanted to start where many 12-steppers, what many 12-steppers say is the hardest step, and that is the first step, the first step. The first step is this. We admitted we were powerless over our addiction and that our lives had become unmanageable. We admitted we were powerless over our addiction and our lives had become unmanageable. All I have to do is hear that phrase, admit we're powerless, and all kinds of defenses go up. Admit our powerlessness. I thought we're supposed to step into our power. I thought we're supposed to get in touch with our power. Aren't we powerful? Shouldn't we get into action, make sure that we're agents of change in the world? Well, a 12-stepper would challenge me here and would say, look, this step is not about you giving up your power as an agent of change in the world. Of course, we need to use the power and agency that God gives us to effect change. But this step is about getting in real deep touch with your limitations. With your limitations. It's the part in the prayer that says, grant me the grace to accept the things that I cannot change. How many of you this morning here know that there are some things that you can't change? All right, I got some hands raised out here in the sanctuary. I'm seeing some hands raised on Zoom. There are some things, friends, we cannot change. Take a minute right now to hold in your mind a situation perhaps you've been struggling with, where you wish you could change it, but you can't. Just take a minute. Imagine that situation. I wish I could change, fill in the blank. Step one is saying, in regard to that situation, I can't fix this. I can't fix it. Step one is to admit your powerlessness to change a situation. It's admitting my inability to cure myself, my inability to cure others. It's like, remember, Jesus said, I came for those who are sick and need a doctor. Those of you who know you're okay and you've arrived, I didn't come for you. I came for the recovering addicts, essentially, is what Jesus is saying. Those who know and are willing to pause long enough to notice that he's talking about us. He's talking about me. I need help. I need a doctor. I can't fix this. So that's the first step, and it's so easy to say, but how do we live into it? And, you know, the parable that Jesus shares in his teaching today is in part a story about someone who admitted just that, who came to a place in his life where he figured out deep within himself, I can't fix this. I can't get myself out of this. I need help. A person who was lost and broken, but for who quite some time hadn't really come to terms with that, with his kind of a lostness. Until one day, the parable says, he came to himself. He came to himself. And it was a moment no one could have predicted. Who knows what life circumstances will move us to come to ourselves? We don't always know when that's going to happen. But for some reason, in this story, for this person, it was in the middle of his day job, feeding the pigs. And something happened inside of him as he looked at the pigs and he looked longingly at the food that they were eating and realized, I could eat that food. I'm so hungry. Perhaps in the moment, all the memories came rushing back to him, memories where he started reviewing his own addictions and the pain that he's caused others, his addiction to money that he had taken from his inheritance and squandered, the harm perhaps that he caused his parents and his brother. There in that moment, no one could have predicted why it was that moment, but in that moment, he came to himself. And when he comes to himself, he sees, I can't fix this. I need help. It makes sense to me that step one is the hardest and perhaps most denied, because step one is about coming to yourself and staying there long enough to notice and then admit your powerlessness. Recognizing your limits, your end, it feels like a kind of death. It feels like this surrendering, learning to accept the things you cannot change, it is a kind of death. And we are afraid of death. We don't want to go there. We're afraid of loss. We're afraid of change. We are afraid of letting go. And so we try to control life, engineer it in a way that is manageable for us. And our culture doesn't respect people who don't take control. So to surrender, admit your powerlessness, is culturally speaking a profoundly weak and pathetic thing to do. We are not encouraged to let go. But 12-steppers claim this first step is the critical first step. What is it about continual confession and humility of recognizing the things we cannot change that is so important? I was talking to my grandmother this past week, and we were talking about how much life, and especially as you get older, you're trying to be an adult, how much as you get older, you realize life and spirituality is so much about letting go. About letting go. It's the hardest thing. And Mom, as I call my grandmother, said to me, you know, I can't bring back my dead husband of 60 years. I have to accept that he's gone. I can't control life, but, she said, I can decide to surrender, to accept, to give my burdens and my brokenness to God for him to carry, in her words. God won't take it from me. I have to give it to God, is what my grandmother said. And my grandmother's been a widow for many years now, and she's 97 years old, and she's still learning to accept the things that she cannot change. I know for me right now in my life, the first step has to do with loss. I have a strong need to control loss. Loss of time, loss of control of my child, who's becoming who he's becoming, loss of people, loss of relationships, loss of glaciers. There is so much loss that is inherent in life, and not all loss, of course, is negative, but I have a strong need to control loss. And there are times when I feel like I'm just gonna sink into a depth of despair with so much loss and even predicted loss, loss that hasn't even happened yet, but I'm predicting it's gonna happen. The first step for me invites me to consider letting go of my need to control loss. You know, the parable that Jesus tells us challenges me in my anxious attention to loss. And it's interesting to me that the language is lost and found in the parable. I think sometimes we focus, and I do this, so much on the lostness part that we forget the main part of the parable, which is really the good news part. It's the recovery part. It's the salvation part. It's the story of being found. It's the story of being found, the celebration of being loved and accepted. We don't have to hold on so tightly to life. We don't have to control it if we know that a higher power, a loving parent, comes running out to meet us in our brokenness. The parable in Luke is often referred to as the prodigal son, right? We all know that naming of the story. But the focus of the parable is really not on the son as much as it is on the shocking actions of the father, which is what Pauline pointed out, who bubbles over with this kind of gratuitous love toward his children. It's so dramatic that it's shocking. It's like we almost want to control his grace. It's like, whoa, it's too much. Your, you know, celebration. What, you know, what about his confession? You know, he didn't even finish his confession. You know, he gets halfway through it, and I want to be like, wait, like, let him finish. He has some stuff to to, you know, to get out. But it's like the father in the story doesn't, it's not what's important at that moment. And it just bubbles over, and it's shocking. It challenges our categories of what's fair and just. That's the mercy in the story, challenges our categories of what is fair and just. And this is how God is toward us in our addictions. Can we feel that? I mean, that is, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can. It's not just certain addictions, it's all of our addictions that we are powerless over. God's response is to move toward us in radical compassion. That gratuitousness of God is so scandalous, it takes over our sensibilities of what is fair and just. It takes over our categories of who is deserving and not deserving of grace. The good news of Jesus is based on an economy of grace, an unearned love. I'd like it often to be based on merit, because if it's based on merit, well, then I have more control. I can do stuff, I can do good things, and feel worthy of the love. I feel worthy of the love in an economy of merit. But that falls away in the gospel. It leaves me and us looking like fools. No, there is no economy of merit here. There is only this economy of grace, and we can hardly believe that God would accept us for nothing. Just because God loves. Just because God loves. That is one of the, I think this is one of the hardest things to receive. I still struggle with it. I still am more comfortable in an economy of merit when I can do things to make me feel like I deserve God's love. And so I think for me, this first step is all surrounded with that. It's surrounded in that kind of letting go. But we can only do that, I think, if we begin to trust that the person we're letting go to, or this higher power, is loving and compassionate. Because we're not going to let go if what's behind there is some kind of evil force, vengeful force. So that our work is around that, I think, in terms of the spirituality there. If our God is merciful, I think we can begin to take some steps towards trusting in that God and living into that powerlessness. I want to leave us today with an invitation, really, but also we're going to, at the end of the service, I want to open up a breakout room so that we can talk a little bit, for those who are interested, to talk a little bit about the first step and maybe some of your questions what you're wrestling with around this and what's come up for you during the sermon time. So if you'd like to join us for that, we'll just meet for about a half an hour after the service today. But I'd like to invite you this week and for the rest of your life, this week and for the rest of your life, to work on the first step. Here it is again. You can even write it down if you'd like. We admitted we were powerless over our addiction and that our lives had become unmanageable. And here are a couple questions for you to reflect on. What area of your life do you need to control, or do you have the need to control? Be honest about that. What areas of your life do you feel a strong need to control? And what would it look like for you to practice letting go of something you cannot change? So those two questions: what area of your life do you have a need to control? And what would it look like for you to practice letting go of something you cannot change? Perhaps these questions can go with you into the week. I even invite you to return to the gospel story and to allow that story to kind of sit with you throughout the week. And we'll have an opportunity again to talk about this at the end of the service. So let's end here with our serenity prayer. Let's pray together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Encourage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, and trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
Hallelujah, thine's the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine's the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine's the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine's the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again.
Our work as God's people on earth today is to work and to serve all of us who are in our own personal recovery. To do this as a faith community, we need to support our congregation financially. Please give as you are able.
Send down your waters, send down your waters upon this land. O healing river, send down your waters and wash the blood the sand. This land is parching, this land is burning, no seed is growing in the barren ground. Oh, healing river, send down. Send your waters down. Let the seed of freedom awake and flourish. Let the deep roots nourish. Let the tall stalks rise. Oh, skies. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all here below. Praise God, heavenly hosts, Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, these are our gifts for you. Please lead and guide us as we use these gifts in your name. Amen.
We are now going to open up our space for sharing our prayers and our joys and anything that's on our heart that we want to lift up to God and to share with one another in this space. So we'll do that right now. We're going to do this just like we always do. So if you want have a prayer to share, just go ahead and type that in the chat. And in just a moment, I'll read those out loud. And those of you who are here in the sanctuary, if you want to share a prayer, just let me know and you can come up to the microphone. So anyone who has anything, yeah, that's on your heart that you'd like to lift up. And of course, we also acknowledge and know that there are prayers that are on our hearts that we don't perhaps have words for. But even in the silence, we know that God hears us. And so we can take some moments also in silence to just lift up our prayers as well. So let's share what is on our hearts. I'll share just joy that yesterday our Lisa, our Jacobs, our nursery caregiver, was married to Beth Eisenberg, and they are now married. It was a wonderful celebration, and I know we are so grateful for Lisa, and we're just I'm just giving thanks for the love that that couple shares with each other and shares with our world. And the celebration of that love was wonderful yesterday. And I know Lisa sends her greetings as well to all of us. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Pax, a prayer for both my aunt and grandmother who fell and were injured in the past week. A prayer for their long road of recovery and the loving support of their communities and families. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Laura Jordan, prayers for James and his family for the loss of his brother this week. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Gwyneth, prayers for Kaya, who turned 26 on October 1st and tested positive for COVID-19 the next day, despite being fully vaccinated. Also prayers she didn't infect anyone else as she went to a birthday party, having no symptoms at all until fever late that night. Thank you, Gwyneth. We'll certainly be praying for Kaya. That's difficult. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Lucinda, prayers for the Philly Trans March happening next Saturday. May it be a safe and meaningful time of celebration and resistance. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Laura Jordan, a prayer of thankfulness for my son, Christian, who is celebrating his 30th birthday today. All right, amen. Happy birthday, Christian. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Sana, prayer for Gina, who has an important presentation related to their dissertation next week. May they feel prepared and confident and do well. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Heather, A prayer of thanksgiving for my dad, Robert, whose 80th birthday we'll be celebrating later this week. Thankful for the love, generosity, and goofiness he has taught me. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And from Kristen, prayer for my daughter, Ellie, who is having health problems. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Chris Purdom, for the family and friends of my classmate, Carter Gillies, who died of cancer. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Sana, a prayer for my continued discernment process as I start the member in discernment process with the UCC. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And from Fletcher, prayers for Livia and her mother, Judith, Judith's boyfriend, Chris. Livia was hit by a car 4 days ago and has two broken legs and massive head trauma. Oh, I'm so sorry. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And from Chris Purdom, also for my friends Rachel and Sarah Carson, who lost their father 2 days ago. Thank you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We hold all these prayers, both the joys and the celebrations, and also the pain and the sorrow that we're holding today for folks who are ill or just all of these situations that we hold. We lift them up together, and we're going to pray now, we're going to sing a song of prayer together, and let's be mindful of these prayers that have been shared, as well as the ones that remain on our hearts. So I'm just seeing one more prayer I'll read out loud from Ron Page. Prayers for my siblings, Paul and Mary Ellen, and brother-in-law as they deal with health problems. Thank you, Ron. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's sing together to lift up our prayers.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit.
We're now going to come to the table of God, the Lord's table. The table of God, the communion, the Lord's table, is a place where we receive and are perhaps sometimes in disbelief of the gratuitous mercy of God that is at the table. The Lord's table has often, unfortunately, in many places, been a place where we've distinguished and had categories of who was welcome and who was not at the table. And I think this is a place where the parable that we heard today, and where we're reminded again that this is a place of welcome, and right. You are, and no one no matter how severe your addiction, no matter how much you struggle with doubt, wherever you are welcome at God's table. And that is something we're going to sing to invite us. But let us perhaps reflect on that today in a way, even if your table is not here in the sanctuary, but the table is right there in front of you at your kitchen table, whatever table, remember that is a place where God is welcoming you and even running out to meet you wherever you are. So let's come to the table of God. And I want to ask you to join me in prayer. If you have your elements with you or in front of you, let's pray over them together. We give you thanks, Holy God, for calling forth creation and forming us from the dark earth and with the breath of your being. We bless you for your continual love and care for every creature, and we praise you for forming us in your image and calling us to be your people. Send your spirit of life and love and power and blessing upon every table where we share in this feast. And may we know communion with you, Holy God, communion with Jesus Christ, communion with creation, communion with one another. Let us taste your extravagant grace through the bread that is broken and the cup that is poured out. We pray this in the name of our friend and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We remember that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and broke it. And he shared it with his disciples and he said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. Whenever you eat this, remember me." And in the same way, he took the cup and as he poured it out, he gave thanks to God and said, "This is my blood. It is poured out for you. It is the cup of forgiveness, the cup of mercy poured out for you. Whenever you drink this, remember me." And so here in the sanctuary, we're going to sing now, "Come to the Table of Grace." And folks who are here in the sanctuary can come and get their elements at the table. And so during that time, I invite you also to just sing along and to have your elements ready, and then in just a moment we'll all eat together and drink. Let's sing.
Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace. This is God's table. Not yours or mine. Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace.
So let us now, in our many places, receive the body of Christ. This is the bread of life broken for you. And let us in our many places receive now the cup of forgiveness, the cup of mercy. It's poured out for all of you here, for all of you. Let's drink.
Santo, 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 mi corazón te adora, mi corazón te sabe decir, Santo eres, Santo, Santo, Santo.
Let us pray. God, we acknowledge our brokenness, our powerlessness, and our limits. We thank you that you come toward us and receive us just as we are, and that you restore us through your mercy. May the eating of this meal remind us of that and give us courage to speak faith and act love in our homes and in the streets and wherever we go in your precious world. And may the drinking of this cup renew our hope and increase our love for one another and for creation. We pray, O God, that you would wrap your hopeful presence around all whose bodies and spirits and hearts need love and recovery and restoration today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And would you join me now in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let the seed of freedom awake and flourish. Let the deep roots nourish. Let the tall stalks rise. O healing river, send down your waters. O healing river, from out of the sky.
Friends, as you go out today and throughout the week, remember, there are things that you cannot change. And remember that it is not all up to you, and that our God, our healer, our friend, walks with us and comes out to meet us in our places of need. Let's take that good news of grace, receive it, and share it with those around us this week. Go in peace to serve God and to serve your neighbor and creation. Amen.